Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. I've been reading a little book, and in this book by Andrew Murray called Absolute Surrender, he just captured my heart with this passage several days ago. And so a lot of the things I share with you tonight have, kind of sprung out of that reading this week. And he's really dealt with my heart. And I want to talk to you tonight about this text. This is a familiar text of Scripture. I mean, we know this. But I want to show you one phrase in this text that really has grabbed me through Murray's book. Acts 13, beginning in verse 1. Now, there were at Antioch. Now, and just to remind you, everybody thinks the church at Jerusalem was the deal. But no, Antioch is the mother church of all churches. Antioch is where God sat down and really sent missionaries around the world. You're here today because of Antioch. This church wouldn't be here because of Antioch. Now, we know that the Canoe folks up in Canoe, Alabama, really started this church. But let me tell you, Canoe would not have been there had there not been an Antioch. And Antioch was home base. Antioch is where the great missionary movement just started. So they're in Antioch. Now, there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. And here they are. Barnabas. Now, we know Barney. He's the great encourager. Barnabas is the great encourager. Name means encouragement. And Simeon, who was called Niger. Now, the word Niger in the Latin means dark or has a connotation to it that most people feel that this gentleman was a black man in the church at Antioch. And Lucius of Cyrene, this is, for their day and age, really an international church. And Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. This guy was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. This guy was up and out. I mean, he hung out with Herod and then Saul. And we know him of having been Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a great Jewish background. So all of these leaders came together at Antioch. They were prophets and teachers. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Now you understand the Holy Ghost of God is supposed to be talking to us. We're supposed to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. The Spirit said, the Holy Spirit said, here was his directive. Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Now he says to the church to do this setting apart, and you are to set them apart, not for the work. You're not to set them apart for missions. You're supposed to set them apart. For me, you're supposed to set them apart for the Holy Spirit. This is really an unusual phrase. He says to the church at Olive Baptist, I've chosen Barnabas and Saul, and I want you to take them and I want you to set them apart unto me. Set them apart unto the Spirit. Now he goes on to say, and set them apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed, notice they fasted in verse 2, now they're fasting again. They had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, there it is, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And then you begin to trace it, and they're headed to Asia Minor, then to Europe, and we know that the Great Reformation would one day come and be birthed out of Europe and jump the sea and come to America and up and down the colonies and across the world. And we're here because they set them apart to the Holy Spirit in Antioch. The Holy Spirit is the
22-year-old Tommy Hansen, considered to be Atlanta's top pitching prospect this decade.
We don't do work that's God's work without the direction and the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the speaking entity of God today in his church. There's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit now dwells in us and with us and directs us. I want to give you six things right quick. I hope you jot these down. They will not come up on the screen unless Randy's smarter than I think he is. He's pretty smart, but I've not given him these notes, so that's what I'm telling you. So you'll have to jot these down. Six things about this being separated under the Holy Spirit. Number one, first of all, I want you to understand that God has his own plans with regard to his kingdom. And give a hoot what we think. God's got his plans. God has his own plans with regard to his kingdom. In the Antioch church, he had plans and he had intentions for it. And those intentions were regarding Asia and Europe. And in Antioch, they didn't even know what they were about. You see, when we get obedient to God, God's got a plan for us at Olive Baptist Church, and we don't even realize what those plans are. But the Holy Spirit of God is the director. He is the one doing the work. He has the plan. He has the intention. And if we'll ever get obedient to listening to what God wants to do, then he's going to, years after we're all dead and gone and in the ground, he's got a plan for this place, for this institution, to come through here. You see, the great commander organizes every campaign in his church. I cannot help but believe, as we get a little insight into it, I think Ministry Village is going to be a part of this. I believe God spoke this into our heart. I believe when we're all gone from this scene, that not only will this church remain as a vibrant, vital pulpit in the southeastern part of the United States and the panhandle of Florida, and the ministry of this great church will continue on, but I believe there will come beside us a ministry arm that will not only work here, but we will train people in the training center that we will one day build there, and there'll be people that will go out from that training center to do missions somewhere else that we don't even have a clue about. See, the Spirit of God has his own plans with regard to his kingdom, and the only thing we have to, we just got one deal we do, obey God. Listen and obey God. And if you'll listen and obey God, he'll take care of the plan. But you've got to set yourself apart. And the church, now I'm going to get into this in a minute, the church has got to do a setting apart of people to the Holy Spirit. Number two, not only does God have his own plan in regard to his kingdom, secondly, God is willing and able to reveal to his servants what his will is. God is willing and he is able to reveal to his servants what his will is. You got your finger right there in Acts 12 or Acts 13. Keep it, but go with me to Psalm 103. Brother Leo read this verse this morning, and I was thinking, ooh, that's it right there. I'm going to talk about that. Psalm 103. Look at this verse. Psalm 103, verse 6. Psalm 103, verse 6. Look at this. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Then verse 7, he makes a statement. Look at this. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. Now watch this, church. Most of us only know the acts of God. And what we've got to do is discern the ways of God. Now thank God for the acts of God. I mean, I love to see people saved in the power of God, and but now the acts of God, everybody knows the acts of God. I mean, you can see them. But you see, he then said to Moses, the leader, I'm going to show you not just the acts of the Father, I'm going to show you the ways of God. Now, friend, I'm telling you, God's got some ways, and he's the only one got those ways. That's his will. And God is willing and able to reveal to his servants what his will is. But you've got to be still and listen, pray and fast and listen and pray and fast and listen. And God will then reveal to his church, Barnabas and Saul. Not Simeon and Manian, Barnabas and Saul. That's the two I want right there. Last year, in Southern Baptist life, man, we were in a swivet about who was going to run and be the president of the convention, because whoever the president of the convention is really sets the agenda for Southern Baptist. There are 50,000 Southern Baptist churches in America. Now, we think more of ourselves sometimes than we ought to, but let me tell you, when God does a work in America, Southern Baptists normally have a little bit to do with it. Just simply by sheer power and evangelical prowess, and I'm just telling you, some good things go on, and there's people being trained in our six seminaries and our two great mission agency boards, and the president of the convention sets that agenda. And he's one who lifts the sail, and we just pray, we're going to find, and everybody talked, and we're on conference calls, and who's going to be, and who's going to be, and I'm telling you, we just began to pray, a few of us together, and God spoke to us while we were sitting in a meeting down in Central Florida, and Dr. Johnny Hunt was there, and we just looked him right in the eye and said, Johnny, I'm telling you, God's just speaking to us. Can you not hear him? He said, give me 2 days, and he prayed, and he heard God. And we began to pray, and said, well, the next thing we got to do is we got to nominate him, and there were six people going to be nominated. And we just believed we heard God that he's what to do. But who's going to do that? Well, you prayed for me, and you know that sort of God got me up at 3:14 one morning. I'm telling you, God spoke to me just like you can hear my voice right now. I mean, I heard the voice of God. I rolled out of my bed, and I said, Lord, what? He said, I want you to say this. And I got up and got a pen and a pad of paper, and in 2 minutes I wrote down what I was going to say, went back to bed, put it over there on the counter at about 3:30. Got up the next morning, called Johnny. And I said, who are you going to get to do it? And he said, well, I don't know. And he said, this and this and this. And he said, well, how about you doing it? And I said, well, I wasn't going to ask because until God confirmed. And I said, God told me to do it last night. He said, good, done deal. So we nominated him, went on the first ballot, and six people nominated. And it just, you know, it's a historical deal in Southern Baptist life because it just never happened that way before. Everybody, well, there'd be a runoff. But there wasn't. God had a plan. But the ways of man do one, but I'm telling you, God has a way if you'll ever listen. Now watch this. Sometimes you're not even listening and God shows up. And he shouts into your life. I mean, if he'll speak into your life riding on a ding-dong, I mean, you know he'll speak to you somewhere. I said, I wrote down an outline for Leo's testimony, from a ding-dong to the depths to the dirt to salvation. It's pretty good just off the cuff. But see, in circumstances, God just speaks into those circumstances. But what we do is we hear God, and it doesn't violate Scripture. But then we'll talk. You will say, well, you know, well, that can't be. Well, why not? Then you test that with three or four others. I'll never forget, we were at the convention in Indianapolis, and seven of us went back there in the room, and we just found a room in the convention center nobody was using, and we just went in it. I mean, we didn't ask anybody's permission. We probably should have, but we couldn't find anybody, and it was late, and we just went in there. Man, we just got on the floor before God, and on our face began to cry, oh, God, we've heard you. Speak a good word. Do your work. Engineer circumstance. We just know we've got a divine appointment. I'm telling you, when the church hears God say, set these people apart unto the Holy Spirit, then we've got to obey. And I'm telling you, God can do more in 2 minutes with Pentecost than we can do in 1,000 years with human engineering. God just begins to blow into his kingdom, into his people. And he is willing and able to reveal to his servants what his will is. We don't get hung up on the acts, but begin to know the ways of Almighty God. Number three, I want you to notice in this text, notice the disposition in which the Spirit reveals God's will. What's the disposition? Well, the disposition is prayer and fasting. That's where you got to get to. It's in verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord, that's worship, prayer and praise, and fasting. That's when the Holy Spirit said. Then in verse number 3, then when they had fasted and prayed, and they prayed and fasted again, they ministered. See, we just don't pray enough. That's our deal. We're hung up in the Bible study and precept and hearing the preacher. But we just don't spend enough time doing what these folks were doing here on their knees. If we pray and if we fast, that is the disposition in which God reveals his will. We got to learn to hear him. You know, there's more praying goes on in a local Baptist church when a staff member leaves and five people in the church are picked by the church to be the search committee for finding that new staff member. Those people pray more than they've ever prayed in their life. They do. They say, man, we can't get this wrong. My home church, Episcopal Baptist Church, my mom and daddy, they just lost their pastor. He resigned. Young man, single man, he's going to Nigeria to be a missionary. He's leaving there to go work in a school. So they elected their pulpit committee last week. For the first time in 25 years, neither my mother or father are on the pulpit committee. They are absolutely thrilled. My mother's just on shouting ground. She said, praise God, I'm not on it first time. And she says, time for somebody else to pray. I said, well, Mama, you got to pray for them. Now watch this. If you select that committee to do that or anything else, you've got to set those people aside to the Holy Spirit. Say, how do you do that? Just hang on. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Set them aside unto the Holy Spirit. You don't just pray for them. You set them into the Holy Spirit, aside to the Spirit, and give them unto Him. Amen. And the disposition in which God reveals Himself is prayer and fasting when we hear God. Number four. The fourth thing we see are these people set apart for the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. This is really the nugget of this text here today. Look at it. In verse number 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me or unto me, to set them to me, Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. So the Spirit said, give them unto me. There are two things about this. First of all, these men were separated to the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you there's some things in your life, and these three things are always in your life when you're set apart to the Holy Spirit. There is grace, there is holiness, and there is power, I believe, in that order. Most people say when you got the fullness of the Spirit, you got power. Let me tell you, that's the last thing you get, though you do have it. The first thing you have is holiness and grace. You're set apart to the Holy Spirit, and you live a holy life, and you are gracious with people. Then there's power. These men are to be set apart to be gracious, to be holy, and to be touched with power. I want to ask you something in your life tonight. Are you filled with grace? If you're not gracious, you're not full of Jesus. Are you full of holiness? If you're not holy, you're not full of Jesus. Then is there a supernatural power that comes in our life? Power is not just that you can get something done. I mean, it is that God does stuff you can't believe. Liz and I've been telling her what we're going to do. I got some cards printed up getting to know my neighbors. I'm going to go see all of them. I've been trying to figure out who they are and meet my new neighbors. This morning, a young girl comes up and she said, my granny lives right around the corner from you. Then I'm walking out this morning, I met another lady. She said, my sister lives right up the street from you. I had two this morning tell me who those people are. I'm telling you, God's just been working in my life that I ought to be getting to know my neighbors, but I don't know them. And these people are just walking up. People don't even know and telling me who these folks are. I'm telling you, the power of God will work in your life if you'll ever listen to Him and pray, cry out to Him. Now when you begin to do that work, you got to be full of grace. You got to be full of holiness. And so when you go visit those people and their dog comes and digs up your flowers, you better be full of grace and holiness. Amen? Is that, friend, they're not going to listen to you unless there's grace and holiness in your life. And so first of all, you set these men aside unto me. We give them unto the Lord. You know when we have a missionary come, like we had a letter, Jocelyn came, we prayed over here, her the other night. And so what we do is we pray, but what we really need to do is we don't just pray for safety. What we do is we give them to the Holy Ghost. Now, friend, if you ever give them to the Holy Ghost can take care of them. You give it away. See, the first thing we do is pray for safety. Don't pray for safety. Nobody can touch them till God says. I'm not saying that you can't pray that, but that's just what we do. We get hung up on safety. And what we ought to get hung up on is graciousness and holiness and power. And we just give them to the Spirit of God. You ever give one of your children somebody else to just entrust one of them to somebody? I did that with Rachel when she was just a little girl and she was going to fly up to Atlanta and meet her grandmother, and then they were going to fly and they were going to Ireland together. Rachel was just a young teenage girl, and we put her on a plane in Pensacola, and of course, you had to get up there, and then they come in at different gates, and here she has never been in an airport much, and she's got to find her grandmother. And so I had a friend of mine in Atlanta that we, Tony Safier, that helps us go to Israel, and Tony was able to get through and knows the Delta agent and said, I need to get in so I can help a young girl get where she needs. So, okay. And so Tony, I just entrusted my little girl to Tony. He's Lebanese. When he got her, he called the church office. And somebody answered, one of the ladies, and said, tell the Pastor Traylor I have his girl. That's all he said. Well, they called me and they said, some terrorist has got Rachel. I said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, that's just Tony Safier. But you see, I gave her to him. Now, friend, when you set apart somebody to the Holy Spirit, you entrust those people to him. You get ready to dedicate your kids to God, you give them to the Holy Spirit. Give them over to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God takes them, he's going to create holiness, grace, and power. They set these boys aside, Barnabas and Saul, and said, you can have them. We're going to give them. We're not going to worry. Worry's a sin, you know. It is. Even with missionaries, don't worry about them. Just give it to them. Amen. Set them apart. You say, well, they're going to a hard place. Let me tell you, if you're going down Davis Highway, you're going to a hard place. Give it to them. God take care of it. Set them aside into the Holy Spirit. That's what they just gave them to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now watch this. Second thing in this verse that I'm talking about in this fourth point. Not only are the men separated to the Holy Spirit, but the church is what does the separating. And we as a body corporately are capable of separating out some of our members that God calls to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It may be your son or daughter. It may be your husband or wife. It may be you. And God calls you. What happened to Robert? He's sitting right out there teaching school, minding his own business, and a deacon in the church. And God touched him. He walked right down this aisle and told me, he said, Pastor, we're going to seminary. We're going right now. I tried to talk him out of it. He said, man, we've sold our house. We're going now. And man, I said, we got to entrust Robert to the Spirit of God. And so we gave him over to the Holy Spirit. And we do that. I saw Kristen in here tonight. We did that with Brother Stan. When he went out from us, we didn't like it. We didn't have to like it. We just had to obey. And when God calls, then you just trust God and you give them over to the Holy Spirit of God. And the church is capable of doing that. Amen. For separating these people out. I think of these ladies over here in the Karis house. And Michelle, where are you, Michelle? This is your last week, isn't it? You going out of here? I think that's right. Saturday, excuse me. Got a few more days left. She's not just anxious to go, but oh, amen. So what do we do when we turn one of the? You see, we separate her to the Holy Spirit. We entrust her to the Holy Spirit. We give her to the Spirit. We've trained her up for all these months and years and discipled, and we've put grace and holiness and the power of God through this. And now we just entrust her to the Spirit of God. We give her away. So you don't just send them out and say, oh God, I hope they do. You entrust them. You separate them to the Spirit of God. Giving them away is a spiritual discipline. And you entrust them to the third person of the Trinity for safekeeping. Number five, fifth thing I want you to see out of this text is that there is a holy partnership with the Holy Spirit and the church when it prays. There is a holy partnership with the Holy Spirit and the church when the church prays. Verse number 4 says, verse 2 says they prayed and fasted. Verse 3 says they prayed and fasted. Then verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From there they sailed to Cyprus. I've been praying, because part of our 2020 vision team was not only to do ministry village out here, part of our prayer life was, and Steve will tell you, God spoke into our heart that we want to get into all these apartment complexes that are around us here. I mean, there's apartments everywhere around here. I mean, Governor's Gate is a mission field unto itself. And then there's two or three others right over here, but they're all around us. I went up one day and stood by the cross on the top of this building to see how many apartment complexes I could see from the cross of Olive Baptist Church. They're everywhere. That's better if you go in the winter when the leaves are off the tree. But in the fall, you just look and you can see. I mean, that's way up there. And you just look out and you see. I said, just a stone's throw from here. So we start coming up with a plan, coming up with a plan. Do you know our plans stink? And I'm telling you, this week is as if God just dropped in my lap the way to do that. Unbelievable with timing and part of the financing. And if I twist the right arm tomorrow, I may get the rest of the finance. I believe God's given me a word to go to somebody and deal with that. And we're able to have the right person that's already been trained and sent out from us to do that. To impart them. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to partner with the church if we'll ever be patient and pray and listen to Him. Mm-hmm. And so we got the village up and going, and now we need this outreach arm into these apartments, because I'm telling you, there are thousands, especially young families, that are holed up in those apartments that need the gospel. And we need in that unreached mission field to do the work. And number 6 out of this text, God blesses beyond our comprehension what He begins. Not what we begin. He blesses beyond comprehension what He begins. It is amazing that out of Antioch, they went to Asia and to Europe. They honored the Holy Spirit to listen and obey. They did not grieve the Holy Spirit. And they killed the flesh and their own will. They died. They died to themselves in order they might live unto God. And I'm telling you that when God begins it, He blesses it and He touches it. Now here's where we got to get. I'm going to do a little exercise with you as we conclude tonight. And then after we get done, Gloria's just going to come play the piano. You can come on right now if you want to, Gloria. And we're going to be dismissed. We're not going to sing a song. But if you're here never been saved, then I want you to come see me after church. If you never joined this church and ought to, then you're going to come. And if you need somebody to pray with you, we'll have some leaders down here and we'll pray. Because the Bible says that they knelt and they laid hands on them as they set them apart under the Holy Spirit. But now I want you all to stand with me. I want to show you what you need to do every day of your life. Every day of your life you need to do this. If you're going to be set apart to the Holy Spirit, you need to do this. Okay? Now you're going to have to help me. I do this every Sunday. And I do it most days of my life. But I certainly do it on Sunday. So the first thing I do is just take my hands and I just hold them up like this. Can you do that? It won't kill you. And I just say, Lord, thank you. And I just bless His name. And whatever you can think of to thank Him. Now, if God's blessed you in any way, just out loud, just thank Him right now. Just thank Him for whatever. Just thank Him. Bless His name. Thank you for great worship this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you for people who got saved today. Amen. Now, after I do that, I move my hands and I just put them right out here like this. If you just do that. I say, Lord, dying to myself, I come to the cross. Lord, I'm not asking you to crucify me. I crucify myself. I die to my agenda. I die to me. I die to what I want. It's not mine, it's yours. Lord, crucify me. And then I move my hands just in front of me like this. I say, Lord, you've promised that you'll give me an anointing according to 1 John 2:20 and 1 John 2:27. And now, Lord, I receive your anointing. I receive your fullness. Lord, as you come and give me power, I'm dead. I died to who I am. Lord, I receive. I receive from you your sufficiency in my life. I do that in my little bathroom over in the office every Sunday before I walk over here. This morning, right before I came, I always make sure my microphone's turned off. I just have a little worship service over there. And I praise the Lord. And I just say, Lord, dead to me. Dead to me. Lord, they've heard enough of me. And then fresh, Holy Spirit of God, anoint me. Set me aside to the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. And there was a great presence of God here this morning. I walked out disappointed. I just knew there'd be greater fruit. Of course, if we have 100 people that come, I want 150. That's just the way I'm sewn together. There wasn't a lot of outward movement today, though after service we had several came. But I've heard from several of you tonight and after church, there was a real stirring in the body this morning about making disciples. What we've got to do is set ourselves aside to the Holy Spirit. And when He takes us and gives us grace and holiness and the power to do what we need to do, then you got to do what my wife learned years ago when she went through her spiritual breakdown out in Texas. She's doing everything. She's singing and sewing and banners and this and that. She's just a flame of energy. Her counselor told her, said, what you need to do, you need to obey one person. And if you'll just do what God tells you to do, all this will flatten out and be fine. So the pastor's wife, she's teaching Bible school this year because Dennis asked her, because Dennis asked her and she asked God and God said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. She just knows where she needs to be. And she said, if God tells me to do it, I'll do it. But if He says no, then somebody will just have to get upset because I've just got to obey God rather than man. And you don't be arrogant spiritually about that. You just do what God calls you to do. And when you do, you'll walk in fullness. You'll learn for God to set you apart. Now watch this and we're done. Now, it's biblical for you to stand up while I preach. That's the way they did it in the New Testament. The preacher sat down. And the people stood up. It's the way the teachers did it in the first century. We ought to try that some Sunday. I think it'd be great. You've got to come to the place where you give yourself to the Spirit of God so that then the church, as you're a part of it, you can hear what God says, and then God will begin to speak to you as He did in Miss O'Beara Wright's life in me. I was 12 years old. 12. And 7 Sunday nights, I walked down to the front of that little country church and knelt down. I was 12. 5 years later, God called me to preach, and I stood down to the front, and I was shaking hands. And here came Miss O'Beara Wright on that cane. I never forget it. She came. She was a heavy lady. Had that cane. She was old. She said, well, young man, I've been waiting on you. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, God spoke to me 5 years ago and said, I'm going to make a preacher out of that boy. I said, why didn't you tell me? She said, oh no, I don't call preachers. She said, but I confirm what I hear God say in my heart. Boy, I needed that day. I needed for somebody with flesh to say, you got it right. And that she had heard before I heard it. Back when I was 12, that's what God wants you to do. Man, I love that elderly woman. She so has blessed my life. For years, she still got tapes from here. She'd every night quit coming. She'd call my mom and say, you better tell that boy, send him tapes up here. I'm coming down there this day. She just want to hear what God's doing. Friend, have ears to hear, and I'm telling you, God will set us apart to the Holy Spirit and do a good thing within us. Somebody's here tonight never been saved, and you ought to come after this service. Somebody's here to be set apart under church membership. You ought to come. We're going to turn love on one another, and glory will keep playing. If I don't wear her fingers out, keep talking. You know, the more she plays, the more I talk. She's life-giving on that keyboard. She just kind of gets you going. While she plays, God's calling you. You come, and I'll be glad to pray over you tonight. Father, in Jesus' blessed name, I thank you and praise you tonight. Thank you that you set Saul and Barnabas apart unto the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that we would be set apart so that we'd have ears to hear. Teach us through prayer and fasting how to know not only your acts, but to understand your ways in the life of the church. Speak to us. I pray for these apartments around here. God, help us to flesh out this ministry. Give us what we need to do it. We entrust it to you now. And thank you for those that are going to respond tonight in this invitation after service. In Jesus' name.